First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read you my daily devotion from yesterday. They're good every day. I get on my, in an email, I get from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I get Faith to Faith. You can buy the book, too. I've had several of them and given a lot of them, well, more than that, and given a lot of them away over the years. But Scripture yesterday was 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things, and I think this was Gloria that wrote this one. Let me look down here and see. That's true. She didn't write the Scripture. Paul took care of that. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then the devotional says, if you're born again and have the Word of God in your heart, you can live in victory. You may not have all the answers. There may be a great many spiritual things you don't understand, but it's not those things that are most likely to destroy you. It's the things you know to do but don't that usually make you fail. Just think about walking at night down a dark, unfamiliar path in the middle of a jungle. The guide up ahead has a flashlight to keep you on the right path, but then you just decide to wander off into the darkness by yourself. What do you think will happen to you? You'll probably stumble and fall. Very likely you'll get hurt. That's exactly the same thing that can happen in your walk with the Lord. He knows what's ahead, and He shines just enough light for you to take one step at a time. You have to continue walking in that light in order to get where you're going. You may not know why He's leading you a certain way. You may not understand all the things involved, but God will make up for your ignorance by the Holy Spirit. He'll see to it that you have victory if you continue in what you know. It's good to keep studying, it's good to keep learning, but remember, it's not the great revelation you haven't yet that will cause you the most trouble. It's failing to walk in the ones God has already given you, so be faithful in those things. Continue in them day after day after day, and you'll make it through just fine. And I find myself, I have to keep going back and reminding myself of all the stuff I'm supposed to know better and get myself back to doing those things, because the enemy will just let you get slack, and he just loves it. I was blessed. I told you this was coming up, but I was blessed Friday night to go and teach in a home Bible study. There was about, I didn't count heads, but I think it was about probably maybe 16, counting Wanda and myself. And these folks from a pretty good-sized Baptist church in Concord have been meeting together and having home Bible study for a good while, and because they wanted to learn something. And so for however many weeks it took them, they meet actually every other week because some of them can't come every week. But at any rate, they've watched Robert Morris's DVD series on The God I Never Knew, which is, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And I acknowledged to them Friday night that just like what Robert Morris said, I can identify with that, because up until I was about 40 years old, I started out in the Presbyterian Church as a young boy, because if you're Scotch Irish, that's what you're supposed to do. It's what my grandparents did, and my mother, and when I got to high school age, I got to looking around with some of my friends, and I decided the eternally secure girls look better than the predestined ones over where I was, so I changed churches. And I went to the Baptist church all my high school years, and I got a lot of good foundation there. And then it was a Lutheran pastor that got a hold of my daddy and got his life transformed and got him born again and delivered from alcohol by sending him somewhere to get the help he needed. So I got into the Lutheran church, but then I married one of them, too, so that sealed the deal, and I was there till I was 40 years old. And all of those taught us good things, but I say we worship the dynamic duo. And I ain't talking about Batman and Robin. I'm talking about God the Father and God the Son, and never learned anything about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven so I can send him, because you're better off with him here than you are with me here. And the church at large, not all of it, and some of you were blessed to come up in learning about the Holy Spirit all your lives, but most people weren't. And the church has ignored the very part of God that is most needed on the earth and in our lives today. Jesus himself said so. And so I've never started out teaching on the gifts of the Spirit before, and now I'm in week 12. But we've been looking kind of at purpose and all that stuff a whole lot more than we have just the mechanics of it. But when you find out how the Holy Spirit works, and by the way, those folks Friday night, I didn't go over. I had me some things scribbled on one little old piece of notepad, just some scriptures that I wanted probably. I didn't know what I was going to do. I started out by asking them if anybody had questions. And of course, the number one thing they had questions about, I asked them, is that some of this stuff you've learned that you're still kind of struggling with the concept, and tongues was the main thing that came up with about everybody. I said I could go to any group anywhere that's not spirit filled and ask that same question, and it would always be the tongues that gets the most focus. The gifts of the Spirit are tools for effective service, and they are part of the weapons of our warfare. So, if they're tools for effective service and weapons of our warfare, naturally, the devil's going to be against them. And naturally, the one that makes the devil most nervous is the one that he's going to try to make people the most nervous about, because that is a wet. All of them are effective against the devil, but I tell you what, when you get over in the realm of being able to pray outside of your understanding, you can really do some damage in the devil's kingdom. But so I taught those folks on a Wednesday night. Friday night. I taught here on Wednesday night. My folks here love me, but about when I go to 8:15, they get looking over toward the door. And I got to teaching those folks Wednesday night, and I wasn't planning on, but they were drawing on the anointing. They wanted to know this stuff. And then when I kept trying to quit, they started asking questions, and so I taught with a fast-talking anointing. I taught for 2.5 hours Friday night, and nobody was in a hurry to go home, because these people were wanting to know. But I did ask them one question now. I said, does your pastor know y'all are doing this? And they said, no, he don't know that. I said, he'll find out. But we're not talking about denominations or anything. It's just, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they'll be satisfied. I said week before last week, we departed from what we were doing to talk about Mother's Day, but I ended up week before last with, we are supposed to eagerly desire the gifts. And if you got anything that's not working in your life spiritually to full potential, if you're not hungry, you need to get hungry. And here's your good menu right here. I'm holding up the Bible. And things Doug shared in the opening, it's so much of the time other things that go on earlier in the morning just fit in. And, of course, he knows we're probably messing around the Holy Spirit, but not really where and what and how and all that stuff. But, you know, talking about the church where people are free to share, and we are. And I want you to know you're free. And when Alice just came up to me before the service, she said, I'd like to say something. So I wanted to hear what she wanted to say, because the church needs to hear it. And let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know it, and it'll be on the screen, but you know it very well. And this is usually what I do. I start and I keep going back and weaving the same stuff together and making a little bit different fabric out of what we're weaving together. But 1 Corinthians 12, in the first two verses, it says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And some translations say uninformed or misinformed. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols, or dumb idols, or non-speaking idols. Anybody that says that God is not speaking today is trying to get you to worship a non-speaking idol. Anybody that says that God doesn't still have something to say to the church. Now, when he speaks today, I'll hold the thought. I'll get to it. Our God, and we're the only one that has this, by the way. Our God, the one true God, desires to speak to his people. He wants to talk to you. And all of God wants to speak. God the Father speaks. God the Son speaks. And God the Holy Spirit speaks. My message today is He speaks through us. He speaks through us. Sunday before last, at the end of the service, I really dismissed us, but I said, anybody needs prayer, I'll be here. And some of the elders, I think Tony was the only elder that was here. Maybe Brad was here that Sunday too. And I said, so if you need prayer, we'd be happy to pray for you. So a couple people came up for prayer. Jackie Jones, Patty. That Sunday, Patty was one of them that came up for prayer. And so Tony had come up, and I prayed with Jackie. And then Tony said, Pastor, I have something to pray. So she prayed for her. And you know which one of those prayers Patty needed? Both of them. I had some input from the Lord that I prayed over. One of our elders had some input for the Lord that prayed over her. And both of them put together got the job done. And then a couple of Tuesday mornings ago, we're having our pastor's prayer meeting, and there's one of the ministers in there. It's been a friend of mine for a good long while, and it was not really what we were talking about, but he was actually leading us in our discussion and whatever we were having, and so the Lord just quoted a scripture to me, and I wanted to give him chapter and verse on it and said, tell him that. And so I didn't know exactly. I knew about where it was, but I didn't have chapter and verse. So I did it. I used a modern-day concordance, which is Google. And I just put in a few words of that scripture, and it popped right up where it was. And so when there was a time to do it, I just told him. And all it was a scripture. I said, the Lord told me to tell you this. And I quoted that scripture. He broke down and started crying. Because it ministered to a need he was dealing with that nobody in that room even knew about. And simply because the Lord said, tell him the scripture. And we heard a story about a lady that came up and painted a picture. But she didn't even know what she painted. And you know, folks hearing this CD won't know what that was about, but she had been diagnosed with cancer in her colon, and this lady painted a picture, and it was... The lady recognized that's the 6 inches of my colon. The doctors think something's wrong with it, and I see a finger touching it. And, of course, that was the finger of God. Well, and then Doug said he didn't know where she put the picture, but if I have some pictures at home I got from a colonoscopy. None of my family even wants to see them. I hadn't thought about putting them up, but they tell me, Dad, put that thing away. Woo! But anyway, wherever she hung it, I wouldn't recommend the kitchen. But anyhow, God's wanting to talk to us. We get on down here in these gifts, verse 7. Now to each one, you've heard this a lot of times, I know. Now to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of those tongues. And all of these gifts are the work of one and the same Holy Spirit. And He gives them to each one just as He determines. Now, these are talking about gifts that operate in the church. We've already established the fact in week before last when we talked about why tongues, that there's different operations of the gift of tongues, and this is not the only operation of it. This is in the church. There's certain rules for in the church, how it works. It's spelled out in chapter 14, but then there is the devotional prayer life that we have, And the rules for that is do it. all the time. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So that's the instructions for that. And then there's the tongues. There's a supernatural sign. We know that chapter 14 says in the church, if there's tongues, there should be two or at the most three messages. And that should be followed by interpretation. But on the day of Pentecost, in an upper room in a church service, there was 120 folks all speaking in tongues at the same time, and we got no indication anybody interpreted any of it. But the folks in the street, it was interpreted in their ear. They didn't need to interpret it. They were hearing it in their own native languages they're familiar with. It was not, they did not, the tongues did not get them saved. Peter's sermon got them saved. And Peter didn't preach that sermon in 120 different languages. He's preached it probably in Aramaic, probably some Hebrew, possibly Hebrew, but most likely Aramaic. But all those folks from all in different parts of the country were Jews. They all spoke Hebrew, and they probably all spoke Aramaic. But that they recognized this language is from where I now live, which has been my native home until I come to Jerusalem three times a year for the major feast. So it wasn't something God had to do to get those folks. You know, people try to put reasons on things why we don't need it anymore. Three of these gifts are vocal, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And for those things to work, somebody has to let it come out their mouth for it to work. Acts 13. And it's a scripture I go to quite often for a lot of things. And it's probably on the screen already, but I'm getting it in my Bible here. And it says in the first couple of verses, Acts chapter 13, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets, plural, and teachers, plural. This is part of the fivefold ministry of Ephesians chapter 4. And God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. They were prophets in the church, and there were some teachers in the church, and it names some of them. And it gets down, and the very last one that gets named is Saul. He's on the bottom of the list. He's a Johnny-come-lately at this point. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, these folks, these ministry office gifts in the church, this doesn't sound like a full church service. It sounds like the prophets and teachers were together having a prayer meeting. And as they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. Who said? The Holy Spirit said. Well, that must mean the Holy Spirit can talk. Now, this is about probably where it's located in Acts, probably getting close to about 15 years after Pentecost or so. And we got the Holy Ghost talking to folks in the church service. Now, when he spoke, it doesn't tell us here how it happened, but God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is after Pentecost. Then most likely spoke through one of those people participating in the worship service. And a good chance it was one of the prophets, since they were prophets there. All right, but the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit called them. So after they had fasted and prayed. So, you know, I told you the story the other day, and I shared it with these folks Friday night. The first thing I told them I started with was I read them some scriptures kind of getting started, and I got over in Matthew chapter 3 and John the Baptist when he was preached to, we need to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he said, there's one, I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me, the latch of the whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then I went on to read about Jesus, but I said it should comfort you to know that the first preacher that ever preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a Baptist. Isn't that true? Well, I knew another one by the name of Martin Luther that said concerning, I didn't know him personally, by the way, read some of his work, that said in his commentary on Mark 16, these signs shall follow them, believe in my name, they cast out devils, speak with tongues, pick up a serpent, drink any deadly thing, will not harm, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And Luther in his commentary said, I interpret this to apply to every individual Christian as a person, as a believer, and has faith, he will do these things. So, you know, there's a lot of good churches that got started with some solid foundation about the Holy Spirit that kind of have let it slip off the shelf a little bit. And once again, we don't thank God for all these denominations and the good they do. They put some good stuff in me. So he said, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And so after verse 3, I didn't tell them to give them there, but it's important. After they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, they heard from a recognized prophet in the church. They said, the Holy Ghost said for us to separate Barnabas and Saul and send them to the work that the Holy Spirit's called them for. And then somebody must have said, let's pray about this and make sure this is God. That was probably one of the teachers said that. Huh? Don't you expect so? Let's pray about this and make sure this is God. Because chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians says prophecy is to be what? It's to be judged. Now, if somebody gives you a word, I got a word for you. You know, when it gets to be known that you have a word for folks, sometimes they'll come to you. You got a word for me? I just tell them, yeah, I got a whole book full of them. Go home and read it. But sometimes I do. But if somebody has a personal word for you, particularly if it involves direction of something you're supposed to do, do not act on it until it is judged. That means go talk to some other people. Spiritually mature people. Somebody gave me this word from the Lord and said, I'm supposed to do this, such, and so, and get some confirmation, because thank God for personal prophecy is wonderful and it can help us and bless. But see, prophecy is primarily to encourage and edify and all that stuff. If that's what it's for, if it builds you up, go ahead and take it. It can't hurt nothing. Even if they didn't hear from God. Go ahead. If it builds you up, go ahead and take it. But if they're saying, the Lord said for me to tell you that you're supposed to sell your car and you're supposed to go over here and you're supposed and say, I appreciate that. As soon as God confirms that to me, I'll act on it. Okay? These people, even here in the early days after Pentecost, maybe about 15 years, they had an exciting worship service. They're worshiping and praising God and been fasting. And one of the prophets said, God said. And then they said, let's pray about this and make sure it's really God. I like to throw a little caution in as we go. So, the main thing I wanted to see is it was the Holy Spirit that said, he talked, and it says he's the one that sent them. Verse 4 says, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit sends us. He calls us. He sends us. He's still talking today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the first verse. Paul writing to Timothy, and he says this. He says the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. I see that going on right now, but it's gone on throughout history at different times, more than others. It says, the Holy Spirit clearly says, the Spirit clearly says. So other translations say clearly says, explicitly says, expressly says, or plainly says. When the Holy Spirit tells you something, it will be clearly and plainly. He can explain it to you so you understand it, and if you don't, he'll draw you a picture maybe. So we got several scriptures here, and we can find plenty more about the Holy Spirit talking. Where does the Holy Spirit live? On the inside of us, right? So how does he speak? If he's down here in me, and he's got something to say, there's a hole the sound comes out of. And that's this hole right here in my face. He's not the only spirit that knows how to speak through that hole, by the way. You can let other spirits get in there and start talking through that thing, too. But the Holy Spirit speaks, and that's what he speaks through us. That's what I want to say. I had to have some questions came up Friday night. The questions were real helpful because that get me to go into where they needed information, you know. And I took them to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verses that talks about weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I shared it in here the other week, I guess. But that, you know, we got a lot of strongholds to deal with. One of the strongholds right now we're dealing with, even in churches are struggling with this. Thank goodness we're not. And that is the stronghold of homosexuality in this nation. A stronghold that about 2% of the population is pushing. and people are buying it because it creeps in. But you know what? The devil knows how he could. He did not just come and fling the doors open to the church and all of a sudden they accepted homosexuality, homosexual sin. First, before that was a step back before that was the church had to first start accepting heterosexual sin. And then you could back on up because the devil starts with a little bit of bait and he just gives you more and more and more. But we got instructions how to fight that stronghold. And that is by casting down imaginations and taking thoughts captive that exalt yourself against the knowledge of God. We speak the truth in love. The answer to a lie is the truth. And the answer to darkness is light. And so the church cannot get quiet on these issues. We have to still speak to it in love. We want to save people. We don't want to kill them. We want people delivered out of things that they've been convinced, even being convinced now that this is God's will for me because he made me this way. Well, if you like to steal, if you're a kleptomaniac, I think they call that, God, I got news for you. God didn't make you that way. if a person's an alcoholic, God didn't, yeah, they like alcohol, but God didn't make them that way. If they're a drug addict, God didn't make them that way. Anything the Bible says is wrong is still wrong, but if it's wrong, God has a solution for it. But the solution is not to put a stamp of approval on it and start deciding it's okay. I'm just talking about how the things of the Spirit are how we deal with stuff like that, not with carnal weapons, not with anger, but with the truth of God's Word. All right? So the Holy Spirit speaks. He wants to speak through me. Now, in Acts chapter 2, you know these scriptures too. I know. Acts chapter 2. Listen, you know, see this little thin book here? This is all I got. I got to repeat a lot of it a lot of times. This is all I got to work with. I'm not going to go finding me another book. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start in the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So why were they there? Because Jesus told them to go there and wait. And they did. Now, everybody he told didn't. We know he appeared to over 550 people at one time during those 40 days. There wasn't that many there. A lot of people he invited to this prayer meeting didn't show up. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And that place was the right place, by the way. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of them began to speak with other tongues. Who began to speak? They did. Yeah, all of them. Them. They began to speak. It didn't say, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to speak through them. It says, and they began to speak. When you do this, you have to begin to speak. All of them, they began to speak in the other tongue as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, enabled them. And the King James says, as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. So the Holy Spirit, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit was residing in them when they were born again. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a release. And he has got some enablement down on the inside of here, but they had to open their mouth and let it out. And it didn't, and they had to move their tongue and their vocal cords and all that stuff because they had to give the sound to it. What was on the inside? Just something stirring around down there, some kind of faith stuff just stirring around down in there. They weren't hearing words in their mind because it doesn't come from your mind. I've explained it to folks that was trying to receive, and I said, I don't know how this works, but somewhere down in here there's a little old switch that flips your mouth connection. Your mouth is defaulted to your brain, but there's a little old switch somewhere that will flip over and connect your mouth to your spirit. And sometimes you have to just go ahead and start with what you might even be thinking about, but the switch will flip over. But then we see in verse 11, we see what these people were saying. The people didn't know what they were saying. It was an unknown language to the speakers. But the folks down in the street spoke all these different languages that get named them. And so in verse 11, it names the last of them, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And it said, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. So what were these people speaking? That they did not know what they were saying. They were declaring the wonders of God. And in this case, it was a language other folks understood. So it was an earth language. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I don't have love, doesn't amount to anything. So identified their tongues can be the tongue of men, tongues of angels. Some people will say that when you speak in tongues, the devil doesn't know what you're saying. Well, all them languages them people's hearing on the day of Pentecost, the devil knows all them languages. And I suspect he knows the language of angels, since he was one, he is one. So can God enable me to speak, pray in tongues in a language that the devil does not know? I'm sure God can do that. But just because I'm praying in tongues doesn't mean the devil doesn't understand it, because he understands all earth languages and heavenly language. So anyway, that's just another little thing we pick up here and there. And then for verse 14, I did read 11, didn't I? And then verse 14, and then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. And he said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And when you read that sermon that was preached by an uneducated fisherman that about 50 days ago was afraid to even admit he was a Christian, he cussed a little bit and told a little girl, he was scared of a little girl, told a little girl, I'm not one of them, and he cussed a little bit to convince her he wasn't really a Christian. If you want to convince the folks you work with that you're not really a Christian, just go to work and cuss a little bit. They'll be convinced, okay? And here is this guy that was afraid, wasn't really educated, and he gets up and preaches a sermon like a theological professor, tied in the Old Testament promises and all that, and 3,000 folks responded to the altar call and got saved right in that one sermon. That was a prophetic sermon. The Holy Ghost gave Peter those words, I'm convinced. The Holy Spirit gave the folks the words to speak in tongues, and the Holy Spirit gave Peter. But the people up in the upper room had to speak it out. They had to make the sound. And Peter, to preach the sermon, had to make the sound. You know what? God gave me some good stuff and put it down on the inside of me for this morning. I didn't even realize it was all in there, to tell you the truth. It keeps coming out. But I could have stood up here and just smiled at y'all for about 45 minutes. And what I had on the inside of me would be just as good, but it wouldn't do you any good at all. You have got to open your mouth and let the Holy Ghost out. Okay? The Holy Spirit in both of those, the tongues and the sermon, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit provided the words, but he needed a human mouth to speak the tongues and the sermon. I'm going to tell you some things about tongues, because it's one that gets a lot of questions. Tongues is a vocal miracle. It's supernatural. People that say tongues has passed away, you check on them. They also believe that miracles have passed away. They believe healing's passed away. The problem's not just they don't believe in tongues. They just don't believe in the supernatural. Jesus, there's two groups that Jesus had to deal with the most, that gave him the most trouble, and it wasn't sinners. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Pharisees were the legalists, and the Sadducees were the intellectual bunch that didn't believe in the spirit realm or the supernatural things. And the church has still got those same two groups. The Lord is still having to deal with them today. The legalists, and they take everything and jot and tittle and twist it around out of shape, make it something he didn't even desire. And then you got the ones that go to church and hold fast to the forms of godliness but deny the power. And my Bible said, don't have nothing to do with them. Now, y'all, that don't mean you can't fellowship with them and work with them, but don't start buying into it. You can't spend a lot of time with people like that, I'll say that. I'll tell you one thing that's helped me all my years, from the time I was a little feller in the Navy. Got married when I was 22, but we'd been courting since I was 18 and she was 15. I had to wait until her daddy said she was old enough to marry. But one of the biggest helps to us was in our walk with the Lord was our friends were church friends. That's who our friends were. Our close friends were people we went to church with. We had other acquaintances and so forth. You have to spend a little time with, but I did not really fellowship with people. A lot of them I worked with. Some of them became close friends, but we had a spiritual connection too. There was one exception to that rule. 3 years, nothing wrong with the geography. 3 years I was in Albany, Georgia. But the problem was I deployed. We lived on the base. That was about the only place we lived on the base. And I was deployed about 2 of those 3 years we were there, 2 different cruises, long cruises. And so we didn't really get to dig in and be part of a church. We had one that we attended, but we didn't really get to dig in and be part of it. And we wound up with our friends who were good people, but they were worldly thinking. And I'll tell you what, I look back now, and I didn't backslide. I didn't go to hell. But that was the dimmest spiritual 3 years of my life, I think. And it was simply because I was not spending my time fellowshipping with people that built me up and kept. Keith Moore talks about the scripture that says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but provoke one another unto love and to good works. He said that provoke means poke them with the faith stick. We need to be around people, like-minded, believing people, that we can poke one another with the faith stick. I went to visit a lady in the hospital. Actually, and her husband was up there too. But he's not in the hospital. He was with her, but he's having some difficulties. The husband's got lung cancer, and the wife she had a growth, or actually, I think it was something just swelled up real big like a knot where her esophagus goes into her stomach, and it's got it totally blocked right there, that nothing, even liquids won't go in her stomach. It's got that thing blocked. And I went up, and I know these people, and I know how they believe. And they go to First Assembly in Concord, and I've known them a long time. I knew the husband. I knew him back from grammar school. Wanda knew him. They were in the same church together back years ago. And I walked in the room, and you know all I had to do? Because I know them. I know what they believe. I said, we talked a little bit, and I said, dude, hand me that Bible. By the way, her Bible was laying right there on the table in the hospital room. I know the Gideons might have one, but don't take a chance. Take yours with you. And in fact, yours has probably got the answers marked in it. Take it with you when you go to the hospital. I said, hand me that Bible. And when I got a hold of it, I'm just picking this one up here, but it was well worn. I could tell it had been used. I turned to the scripture the Lord told me to go to, which was Isaiah 53. Starting at verse 3, it was highlighted and had little brackets all drawn around it. So I know she knows this scripture. I knew she did. And I said, listen here, Ruth, I'm going to read you this scripture that you know. I read it to her, and you know what it did? It stirred something up in her. I didn't have to preach a sermon. I reminded her. And boy, she got a hold of something. And she's ready. And there's progress is being made there too, by the way. So we need to be around folks who can keep us built up. I'm giving you sermons I didn't know I was going to preach. It's just extra, no extra charge for all that today. Tongues is a vocal miracle. Those that say it's passed away believe that miracles and divine healing have passed away. In doing that, they reject the work of that the Holy Spirit is assigned to do through the church today. If they reject the ministry and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are rejecting what God is wanting to do in the church in the world today. We're not upset with people. Just get you a bunch of them and start having a home Bible study and teach them better. Tongues is not gibberish. Any language that is unknown to the hearer would sound that way to us. If we don't understand it, we don't know the sounds of it. You know, I know if I'm going to say something here. And if my pronunciation is good enough, there'll be at least one person in the room that can tell me what I said, okay? But in el principio existía el verbo. Y el verbo era con Dios. Y el verbo era Dios. What did I say? Who knows what I said? Maria. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why is that? Because it didn't make any sense to any of y'all, but it did to one person. Now, say that like on the day of Pentecost. I could have been speaking Spanish on the day of Pentecost, and if anybody down the street understood it, then they'd know what I said. All right? Now, I'm going to do something else. Morse code. That just sounds like a bunch of noise to most people. Bruce was out here earlier in the parking lot, and I was hoping he was going to stay because I think he might still can handle that a little bit. But he had to leave to go take his some of the family back to where they need to be or something. But so I'll just do a little Morse code for you verbally here, and I'll find out if anybody in the room knows what I'm doing. Da 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 da. That's over and over again. Anybody know? You know. Oh, S-O-S. That ain't S-O-S. It's been too long for Leslie. She used to hear me doing that all the time. That was C-Q, C-Q, C-Q. Da-da-da-da. That's C. Da-da-da-da. Q. All right. And then I would do that, and I would say da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- it makes sense to you. But if you don't, it's gibberish. But I'll tell you what, when you're speaking in tongues, it's not gibberish, because the one that's inspiring the message knows exactly what's being said. And something else tongues is not. It's not. Sometimes in books I've read, it gets called ecstatic utterance or tongues of ecstasy. Now, ecstasy is a drug. The Bible never refers to it that way. Tongues can get you excited, but it's not out of control. It's the Holy Spirit is always in control, but you're letting Him take control of your mouth. All right? Tongues is a gift. Everybody say a gift. To permit expressing the inexpressible. I like what Brother Lee gave me an article one time to read, that he and he likes that terminology too. A language never learned. I believe that was it, wasn't it? We're speaking a language never learned. But it's a gift to permit expressing the inexpressible. Of course, as a message to the church, it needs interpretation. In the other usages, it doesn't. In our prayer language, it is addressed to God, and it doesn't matter if we understand it or not. Now, you know, there's in 1 Corinthians 14, it says if you have a message in tongues, there's no interpreter, pray God give you the interpretation. Now, that's talking about in a church service, because you need interpretation. But in your prayer life, if God needs you to know what it was, He'll tell you. But don't expect to get the interpretation all the time. A lot of times, tongues is used for intercession. I might have some stuff going on in my life that needs prayed for, and God will wake you up at 2 in the morning. Please pray if He does, if it's me. And you start praying in tongues, and you're praying about my situation that I'm dealing with, and then you'll say, now, Lord, give me the interpretation. And the Lord's obviously says, it's none of your business. Now, if it's something you need to know, sometimes you might pray it out that way. And then the first time I ever spoke and prayed in tongues, I've told you, I was riding down the highway in my truck down in South Carolina, heading somewhere to work. And I told the Lord that I believe I've got this gift, but I hadn't figured out quite how to ride it yet. And I said, I want you to, just like I did my kids on the bicycle, I'm going to get on this thing. I want you to get a hold of the back of the seat and give me a good push, and I'm going to ride it. Now, that's after I'd been struggling, wanting it, and I began singing in a language never learned. I wasn't planning on singing it, but I did. I just began to sing. And then I heard myself, out of my mouth came these words, singing in English, now, Lord, tell me what I said, and I began to sing the interpretation, and it was about like on Pentecost. I was declaring the wonderful works of God. It was praise and worship is what it was. But I did all that without controlling any of that with my mind. I just got that release in there. And, you know, it's like tapping into a well. Once it gets to working, the next time is not a big problem because you've cleared the channel. Okay, sometimes you're struggling with that first experience. 1 Corinthians 14, we've talked about that, but let's look at it just quickly. I'm getting this is my, right in this scripture area, it'll be about where I stop here. But 1 Corinthians 14, and verse 18 and 19 first, and then I'm going to back up a little bit. Verse 18 and 19, Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues. And so he's letting it be. Of course, he's dealing with here with abuse and improper use and so forth in the church service. And he said, y'all are real thrilled about how much you speak in tongues, and I've got y'all beat at that. But in the church, I'd rather speak talk in a language you can understand. But there is a place for tongues in the church. We all know that. And then I'm backing up to verse 14 and 15. Now, there's Paul that said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He must have done a whole lot of that at home if he wasn't doing it at church much. Verse 14, Paul said, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. When I'm praying in tongues, my spirit's praying, my mind is unfruitful. Why unfruitful? My mind is not involved in this. That's why it's so hard for some people. They cannot stand to surrender anything that's outside them controlling. It might be risky, Lord. If I start praying in a language I don't know, I might be praying for you to send me to Africa. And I tell you what, if he has you pray that, he'll give you the desire to go, won't he? Yes. But Paul said, so what, verse 15, so what shall I do? He said, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I'm going to do both. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Notice he said, I will pray, I will sing. In other words, he said, my will is involved in this. If I will, I'll do it. If I won't will, I won't do it. But he wills to pray in this. He wills to do both. I'll pray in the Spirit, I'll pray with my understanding. I'll sing in the Spirit, and I'll sing with my understanding. Tongues is a gift. We already said that. When do you get to use a gift? Somebody gives you a gift. You got a Christmas present. When do you get to use it? Huh? Whenever you want to. And does it require permission from the giver once they give you a gift? No, it does not. You raising your hand, or you just okay? Wait a minute. You sit in that position a lot. I was checking with you. Pastor, yeah. This on.
So I just wanted to. I thought about this because my parents came from two very different backgrounds. My mom was a Wesleyan growing up, and my dad was raised Assemblies of God, and. Just thought maybe it'd be an appropriate time to share this.
Yeah.
My mom, when she started hanging out with some people who went to Assemblies of God Church, and of course she was very skeptical of speaking in tongues and anything along that line. Well, the way God handled it in her situation, after she'd been praying for it and praying about it, she woke up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues. Nothing she would have, because if she had done it in a service, she'd have felt like she was copying somebody or doing something. You know, it wouldn't have been authentic for her. But because she woke up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues and like wakes up and she's like, here I am doing this, you know. So, and then for my dad being raised in the Assemblies, he was uncertain about, you know, am I just following in the crowd? Am I just doing something? Well, so he had been speaking in tongues and praying that way. And had been praying about it, and God totally changed his prayer language. It's like it had been one form, and then totally changed the things that were coming out of his mouth, and just confirmed to him, you know, this is for real, this is legitimate. So I thought maybe it would.
And you know, the Lord's, if you give somebody a gift, you want to help them know how to use it. And in fact, it's discouraging when you give somebody a gift. And you notice 2 or 3 years later, they've never unwrapped the box. if you put some effort into getting them something. And Leslie gives me healthy stuff to eat and all that stuff, and I do eat it. And some of that stuff I hadn't quite figured out what to do with yet, but I'm working on it. I'm taking it a little bit at a time. I'm not sure of the food value of quinoa, but whatever. But. Tongues is a gift. You get to use it when you want to, and you don't have to get permission from the giver to use it. Now, we know in a church service, those gifts operate as the Spirit wills. There is a right time then. But I'm talking about in your personal prayer life and so forth, okay? And 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 32, it says, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the controls of the prophets. And so that's where we don't have to get permission. We use it anytime we need to or want to. But we can control it. But listen, the devil possesses people. The Holy Spirit leads people. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you do anything. He might tell you to do something. And sometimes he might be trying to tell you, I want you to do such and so in 15 minutes. Well, wait till the 15 minutes, okay? But some people get a little something going and I got to just act on it right now. Well, no, your spirit can control that. And then verse 39 of this chapter, and it says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. And I think I know there's places that forbid any of that to happen in the church and so forth. But I thought more last night in looking at that, don't forbid it in your own life. Don't quench it. When there's a time that needs to take place, don't quench it in your own self. If you never have experienced that, don't quench it. Start welcoming it. Start welcoming. And you might be like Benjamin's wife, mother. You might wake up in the middle of the night doing it. I suspect she was welcoming it, probably desiring it, right? And the Lord just blessed her in a way that knew would work for her. Back about 19, I think it was about 81, I was preaching a revival. It was in our own church, but actually I was alternating with another minister every other night, and I ministered on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't this church didn't seat but 120, but we had about 15 people come up. This was on a Sunday night service, or a weeknight service, actually. I forget what night of the week. About 15 people came up and lined up across the front to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just went down there, through there, laying hands on them. I didn't spend a lot of time. I just had everybody praying. I said, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And you know, 13 of them did right then. Two ladies. One of them was a nice older Methodist lady, and the other one was a nice little bit older Lutheran lady who is my mother. All right? They didn't, and I told them, I said, it's okay, because I knew they had some denominational struggles to get through. But they desired. I said, you can just go home, but don't quit on this. God's given you this. You hadn't figured out how to use it yet. The Bible says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? You know, us faith people, we'll tell you right now, confess that you're healed because you prayed and claimed the Scripture, and you'll say, well, I don't feel healed. We say, we don't go by what we see. We don't go by what we feel. We go by what the Bible says, okay? But then we'll turn around sometimes with the gift with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to those that ask? And if we don't get a manifestation of seeing them speak in tongues right then, sometimes tell them, let them think, well, you didn't get nothing. You didn't get it. But I tell you what, we better be open to the idea that they might have the gift and don't know what to do with it yet. Because if you discourage them and they keep coming and keep coming and keep coming about a lot of things. Yes, ma'am. Wait a minute. Let me come back there, Polly. No, I know, but you can speak loud. But when I get home, they want to hear the CD. I can't remember what you said. Here I come. All right.
You don't have to be an expert at the Bible to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you just have to have your heart ready. Your spirit will follow. And then the Word becomes alive in a way you never realized before.
Yes, amen. Thank you. Don't have to. You know, I doubt those folks on that thing. like back on. I doubt those folks on the day of Pentecost were experts on the Bible, but they were in one accord in one place, and they knew what they were there for, and that's what they came to get, and they're going to get it. So we're told to eagerly desire and don't forbid in others or in ourselves. Benjamin, go up there and get your guitar. Huh? Please and thank you. Please, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pat. Everybody stand up.
That just reminded me of Jessica talking to me.
Uh-huh. Yes. Let's go up there and get a microphone. Please. Thank you. I don't know if we'll need this or not, but we'll see. I'm just following directions here myself. All right. Right where you are on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's in the house called Cornelius, and while he was still preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them all, and they began to speak in other tongues. He didn't lay hands on anybody or anything. That's what I felt like doing today. So, what we're going to do is, I'm going to pray a prayer here, and I want you, I think most folks in this church are spirit-filled, and most have already experienced speaking in tongues. How many want everything God's got for you? You want more. You want more. You eagerly desire. You're hungry. You want more. I'm going to pray. Just shut your eyes. Put your hands in the receiving mode. Like if something falls out of heaven, you're going to catch it. Okay? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we've got a hungry church here, Lord. We've got people that want to be fully equipped, fully prepared to do everything that you've called us to do, Father. Willing, eager, and ready. As we've been reminded, we don't need to know all the doctrine, all the theology. All we need to know is, Lord, you said this is for us. It's good. And we know every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And so if it's good, we want it. And we thank you for it, Father. We receive it now. I want us to begin sing a little in the English if you want to. Hallelujah, whatever. Then begin to lead us into singing in the Spirit. And you participate, whether you've ever done it before or not. You just let that in this worship. Just begin to sing or to speak or whatever. Let some words come out of your mouth.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this.
Whatever language the Lord gives you. With your mouth closed, just open your mouth and worship God.
Yo,
Well, hallelujah. You know, that there was enough instruction that if you were here and you're the uninformed, it was not a message. We were worshiping God and we were doing it the way they did on the day of Pentecost and declaring the wonderful works of God. And He shows up in the midst of that, whether it's corporate worship or whether it's individual. He will show up. Acts chapter 28 says all things work together for good, but prior to that, verse 26 says, when I don't know how to pray as I ought, the Holy Ghost will pray for me, intercede for me with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he will pray the perfect will of God because he knows what that is, and that's the only way he prays. And then when he prays that perfect prayer through my mouth, coming out of my mouth, in words I never learned, then all things will work together for good. So it's a powerful weapon, and it's a powerful tool. So let me pray over us and bless you. If you still have never had that, listen, it doesn't have to be here. Tell the Lord to wake you up tonight in the middle of the night speaking that way, whatever. Just I want you to be free to it. No doors closed. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord. You're a loving God. You got so much for it. Father, there is so much you have for us, and it's not just about these gifts of the Spirit. So much you have for us, Lord, that we've just tapped into the edge of a lot of us. And, God, we want the fullness of everything that you desire for us. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, Lord, that you'd give them a spirit of wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of you and open the eyes of their understanding, enlighten them, Lord, about the hope of the calling you have on our lives, about the inheritance that the saints have in Christ Jesus, and about the exceeding greatness of your power. And we pray, Lord, that you show us the fullness of that as well. And I just bless this church, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst and in our individual lives, and we give you the praise for it and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Now receive this blessing spoken to you. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you got something today, tell somebody.